Hello, this is Tyler Fender. Thank you for joining us today. We invite you to connect with us on all social media outlets. Now, let's go to the message.
Got me a new app, Mario. He told me about this app. I think he told me about it because I've been preaching too long. I don't know. But that's big enough for anyone to see. And when it gets down to the final 10 seconds, it actually like blinks at me saying, hey, wrap it up, big boy. It's time to go eat. I'm going to be cognizant of time. We're going to end our series today. I've loved this series. And I believe that revival, we sang it and declared it. I believe that revival's coming. I really do. I believe that revival's not coming to the church only, but revival is literally going to be what we declared and prophesied, that it is going to flood the streets. That what happens in these altars, Sister Chris, I heard you, amen, that what happens in these altars is going to happen on street corners, in the halls of high school, at your job and workplaces. And I can't wait for that to happen. I've been reading a lot of the book of Acts. And, man, when Peter is walking in his shadow, they're dragging people. The one translation said they're dragging people in front of his shadow. So as he walks, there's a presence that should walk with believers, praise God. And so I believe that that revival is coming, and we are the Jonas for our generation, and it's time that we start preaching to our cities, our families, and our community. Jonah chapter 1, verse 1, 2, and 17. Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, arise. Somebody say, get up. Go to Nineveh. Somebody say, go. Somebody say, get gone. That great city, and cry or preach against it, for their wickedness has come up before me. Verse 17, now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish for 3 days and three nights. This is our final fifth message in the series, Jonah, running from, running to, revival for. Turn to your neighbor and tell him, run like Jonah. You may be seated. So that's kind of counterproductive because Jonah ran away. Run like him, just change direction. If we would run to Jesus with as much veracity as we run from Jesus, what could we do for the kingdom of God? If we would out ourselves like a young Samuel, like a young Isaiah, and say, God, speak to me, or like Isaiah, here I am, Lord, send me. If we would approach life like that instead of hiding or cowering. So in this first verse of Jonah chapter 1, we see that Jonah hears, but the Jonah starts running. The Jonah runs from and not to. That in the midst of Jonah's running, four things happen. He goes the opposite way. When he runs the opposite way, he finds many different streets leading away from God. Can I tell you there's only one way to heaven? I'm sorry, Miss Oprah. I'm sorry, Tom Cruise. There is not many roads that lead to heaven. It is not, well, if you just believe in a God and live a good life. No, you must believe in the God. His name is Jesus. You must not live a good life. You must live a righteous life, which means you have received and been covered by the blood of Jesus. And so there's always going to be a lot of roads leading away, but only one road leading to. And Jonah found that a lot of boats were leading away from Nineveh's direction. And so he goes away. Jonah paid the fare. He paid a price to get on that boat. Running from always has a price. You might not pay it in August. You might not pay it in 2021. But realize this, running from God, church, always has a price. And you want to make sure you get it right before the end of your life, because if you don't get it right before the end of your life, the price is your life. The price is your eternity. Jonah went down into the boat. Running away from God always brings you down. I might not be as high and as far as I want to be in my journey with Jesus, but let me tell you, like Paul said, I'm not where I want to be, but I'm a whole lot better than I used to be. I might not be as far, I might not be as high, but thank God I'm not there anymore, and thank God I'm not there anymore. Jonah went with them. There was people that had the boat, that took the fare, that had the boat pointed in an opposite direction. And so he went with them. Running will always put you in the wrong crowd. In church, I've lived long enough to know that there are a lot more people running from God than following after God. But can I encourage you, be the one for your family. Be the one for your job, your school, your community. Four words that will turn your life around. Last week we talked about them in detail, and that is turn your boat around. God is looking. Repentance is 180 degrees. I know a lot of churches and preachers want to preach and present repentance as a bitter pill to swallow, but I'm going to tell you, the Bible says, taste and see that the Lord is good. It's like honey. Repentance to me is sweet. Why? Because I couldn't get it done by myself. And when I was messed up, a nobody, headed straight to hell, God said, hey, Brandon, I died on a cross, shed my blood just for you. And if you'll turn your boat around, if you'll start running after me, if you'll start seeking after me, I'll change your life. Turn to your neighbor and tell him, turn your boat around. See, when you turn your boat around, that which you were fighting now becomes your friend. The wind that they were fighting now becomes their friend. What leads me to this point, quit fighting and start flowing. Go with the flow. However, if you're going to go with the flow, make sure you're in the right river, on the right boat, with the right captain. Jonah gets in the boat, and when the hurricane shows up in Jonah's boat, they ask five questions. Who caused this trouble? What do you do? This is to Jonah. Where did you come from? Where were you born? And who are your people? I know we can answer those questions a lot of ways, but after Christ and after you quit running and after Jesus shows up in a very profound way in your life, whether it's a Damascus Road experience outside of the church, or maybe you've run to an altar like at Living Way and you found Jesus inside of a church. But I know that the five questions that are asked to Jonah in the middle of my running, in the middle of my storms, in the middle of uncertainty, those five questions are still asked of me. Who caused this trouble? The best thing for you to do is realize that the responsibility of your life does not hinge on President Biden, the next president, the last president. It does not hinge on your boss. It does not hinge on the government. It does not hinge on your pastor. It does not hinge on your in-laws. It does not hinge on your spouse. It does not hinge on how much money you have. Your life is strictly your responsibility. You're the CEO. Hire and fire accordingly. Why are we in this problem? Me. Why are you out of the will of God? Me. Why are you having this trouble? Me. See, the moment you take responsibility, the moment you can start growing, start changing, start turning your boat that 180 degrees. What do? I am a believer. I'm a follower of Jesus Christ and a disciple of Christ. Where did you come from? I've come from a long ways off. I was on the other side of the cross, but because Jesus found me and he reached out and called to me, I am here. I might be out of the will of God, but listen, stay tuned. I'm turning my boat around. I've been running from him. Now I'm running to him. Where were you born? Well, the only birth that really matters in Brandon's life did not happen at North Methodist Hospital downtown. It happened at a camp, summer camp, on July 17, 1999, where I was laid out on my back, and I went down as a sinner, and I came up as a saint. I went down as a nobody. I came up as anointed and appointed. That's the only birth that matters. Who are your people? A lot of times we get caught up in who are people. Black power, brown power, white power, yellow power, red power. My people are red people. My people are people that are washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. It's not about Fender. It's not about Varnado. That's her maiden name. It's not about where I came from. It's about the cloud of witnesses and my faith-filled family that will now not allow me to run from God, but will always push me to God. Verse 9, and Jonah said, I am a Hebrew. I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, which has made the sea and dry land. He makes four statements here. This is who I am. This is what I do. This is who God is. This is what God does. When you're in the middle of a storm and you begin to change your direction and you begin to change your outlook and you begin to run towards Jesus instead of fighting him tooth and nail and every step of the way, this is our job. Tomorrow when you show up to work, this is who I am. I'm a believer. This is what I do. I trust God. I serve God. I operate in faith and hope. This is who God is. He's a God that has never failed. He's a God that was at the beginning of time. He's the God that created me in his image. He's the God that came before me and made sure I had a way to heaven. He's a God that never sleeps, never slumbers. There it is again, but is always working on my behalf. What does God do? This is what God does. He saved me, healed me, delivered me. He woke me up this morning. If it wasn't for God, I wouldn't have a job. If it wasn't for God, I couldn't stay married. If it wasn't for God, I'd already be dead. If it wasn't for God, the drug would have taken me out. If it wasn't for God, not having the right family would have crushed me. But God, that's who God is. This is what God does. When he answers the five questions and he makes the five declarations, this is who I am, this is what I do, this is who God is, this is what he does. The Bible says in verse 10 of Jonah chapter 1, the men were exceedingly afraid and said to him, why have you done this? For the men knew that he fled the presence of the Lord. How is it that your running from the Lord is so apparent to everyone else? Even people that don't know Jesus. Verse 11, then he said unto him, what shall we do unto thee that the sea may be calm unto us? For the sea is wrought and was tempestuous. And he said unto them, take me up, cast me forth into the sea, so that the sea shall be calm. For I know that for my sake, this great tempest is upon you. There's two ways I can preach Jonah's statement here. Let me first preach it how most people feel. It's my fault. Woe is me. Get rid of me. Don't talk to me. Cut me off. I'll drown in the sea. That's how most of us approach a storm. Or could it be that faith has been resurrected in Jonah's life? And Jonah said, throw me overboard because I know God's plan for me is to not die in the sea, but there is a city called Nineveh that is expecting my arrival, that is waiting for my presence, that is anxiously awaiting the voice that God has given me. Go ahead and throw me over. You're going to save yourselves. And I believe the God that called me will keep me. And he'll get me to where I'm supposed to be. A friend of mine put on social media this week. I wasn't going to give him credit. But I talked to him this week, and I told him about it, and he just laughed. But let me just throw this out here. Put this in your notes. I didn't have him put it on the screen because I didn't want somebody to screenshot it and send it to him. Disobedient people bring their storms to your boat. Let's preach now from the captain and the sailor's point of view. They allowed somebody who was running from God. They allowed somebody who was ducking the call. They allowed somebody who was running from righteousness. They allowed somebody who was ducking the anointing to get on their boat. You say, why would they allow him to get on their boat? Ooh, here's where it's going to hurt. Because he had money. The Bible says he paid them to join them. Some of us have allowed disobedience to take place in our lives. And it might not even be your disobedience, but you're dating disobedient people. You're running with disobedient people. You're living with disobedient people. You're lunching with disobedient people. You're chilling with disobedient people. You're doing business with disobedient people. And I'm here to tell you, you didn't bring that storm to your boat, but you allowed them to bring their storm to your boat. And there's only one way to don't hesitate in throwing them off your boat to save you and everybody else that's connected to you. Oh, I know you're not disobedient, praise God. But don't allow people that are walking in disobedience to hook their cart to your life. Why? Because your children are going to be exposed to their disobedience. Rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. You wouldn't let some warlock or some witch or some Ouija board carrying person to come in your living room. Well, can I tell you that anytime you allow somebody who's disobedient, they are doing just that. They are bringing that spirit into your home, around your marriage, around your money, around your ministry. Don't allow them to bring their disobedience and their storm onto your boat. Throw them off. Well, that would just be wrong of me. You throw them off or you're all sinking. You throw them out or you're all sinking. It's called tough love. It's called I love my family more than I love you. It's called I love my God and my future more than I love you. I'm more connected to my wife. I love her more than I do you and your silliness. You're not going to bring that on my boat. If I bring my storm to your boat, I'm talking about me, throw me off. Don't pray about it. Throw me off. Throw me off. But you best believe if you bring your storm into my boat, I'm not going to pray about it. I'm not going to fast about it. I'm going to take you by the back of your collar and the seat of your pants, and you are going overboard. And you say, well, you're not big enough to do it. Yeah, but I know Brother Andrew Hankins, he's big enough to do it. Brother Michael Johnson's big enough to do it. Brother Kenneth Anderson's big enough to do it. And I'm not going to be on this crutch for the rest of my life, and I'm stronger than you think I am, and I'm not going to go down. I will get you off my boat. Verse 13, y'all going to love this. Hey, Mario, I never pressed go. 30 minutes starting now. Oh, my gosh. And if you don't like that, get out the boat. Verse 13, nevertheless, the men rowed. I feel for the men here because they, Brother Charlie, it's so good to hear your voice. So good for you to be back here with us after your procedure. I love you. You're one of my favorite people. I heard him say amen, and I just wanted to make mention of that. I feel for the men here because they know Jonah is out of the will of God now. They know Jonah's God has sent the storm, but they're decent human beings. And their decency, if they allow it to, Sister Tanya, will cost them their life. Because they want to be politically correct. And they don't want word to get back that they threw somebody overboard to their demise and their death. And so they rowed furiously, but they could not, for the sea was wrought and was tempestuous against them. Wherefore they cried unto the Lord. Sinners are now crying to Jesus. Said, we beseech thee, O Lord, we beseech thee. Let us not perish for this man's life. Lay not upon us an innocent man's blood, for thou, O Lord, hast done as it is pleased. So they took Jonah, and they cast him forth into the sea. And immediately when his tail hit the water, the sun came out. The wind ceased. The waves laid down. What is on your boat, church, that doesn't belong? Who is on your boat, church, that doesn't belong? We're running from. We're running to. Revival is waiting and hanging in the balance. There are people all over our city that are damned to hell until a Jonah in the form of a man or woman of God in San Antonio will testify of what God has done, will raise the word of God and show the love of God and call them to Christ. Can I encourage you? Three words, throw it away, throw it overboard. Throw it overboard. There are storms that happen in our life because of what's in our life. And out of those storms, out of the storm, this Hurricane Ida, after it has just churned up all of the waters of the Gulf. They say that the Gulf will take a few days, weeks to recover the actual water before another system can come to that magnitude. Can I tell you that there are storms in your life that if you will throw things off of them, you are going to be ushered into a season of peace and a season of rest and a season of strength if you quit fighting them and start following Him. If you quit fighting against God's call and start leaning into God's call. Verse 16, then the men, they feared the Lord exceedingly and offered a sacrifice unto Him and made vows. What to do after the storm? Number one, the Bible says they feared the Lord. There was a new awe and reverence to God. Those gentlemen had gotten on that boat following one God, but they left believing the one true living God. The Bible says that they feared the Lord, that respect, that health, that healthy awe of God, of Jehovah God. They offered a sacrifice. Let me tell you how much they loved Jesus and believed in Him. They started a fire on their boat. Some of us, we shouldn't start a fire anywhere. They're out in the middle of the ocean starting fires on a wooden boat. Why? Because they love Jesus. They heard from God. God showed up. They made new worship, worship they had never expressed before. And they made vows. That's a new commitment. Can I encourage you, after you turn your boat, Jonah, after you quit running from God, and after the storm has passed, make sure that you have a new reverence for God. For everything that He's brought you through and brought you to, give God a new sacrifice, new worship. See, my worship as a 39-year-old young man is different than it was as a 19-year-old young man. Why? Because I've been through some storms. Because I've run from God a time or two, because I've turned my back and said, I don't want to do that. Come on, don't act like I'm the only one who hears from God and says, ooh, not today, I can't do that. That would mess up the balance of my life right now. So new worship. Then they made new commitments. Can I encourage you, when you quit running from God, there should be a new commitment. God, I'm never going to do this again. And God, I'm starting to do this brand new in my life. Verse 19, here we go. Now the Lord prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish, or the whale, for 3 days and three nights. Jonah 1 will mess with what you believe about God when you read it, because the wind and the storm that happened on his boat, the Bible says God prepared that wind. What did God prepare the wind to do? To turn the boat around. You say, does God send hurricanes? No, He doesn't. God sent this wind not to kill Jonah, to turn his boat around. There's a lot of things that God brings into my life that make me uncomfortable, but it's not meant to destroy me or kill me. It's meant to turn my boat around so that I'm going the right direction. And here we find out that the whale, or the great fish, was prepared by God. I know woke Christians, I know progressive Christians will tell you and dismiss this. It wasn't really a whale. It wasn't really a fish. This is something that is figurative. It's not literal. I am here to tell you that if Jesus was in the ground for 3 days, dead, went to hell, took the keys back to death, hell, and the grave, and rose again after 72 hours, I am telling you that the fish was real, that Jonah was swallowed by a fish, went down in the bottom of the sea in a fish, stayed alive in a fish for 3 days. Jesus even mentions this story in the New Testament. Jonah 2, verse 1. And Jonah prayed unto the Lord his God out of the fish's belly. How many of you ever been to SeaWorld? Some of us, we would pray if Shamu was coming at us. Jonah's in the middle. He's in the... I don't know if you like seafood, but the smell in there couldn't have been great. It's dark. He can't get a good breath. But what does he do? He starts praying. Prayer gives you direction. If you need direction, start praying. God, I don't know which way to go. I'm praying right now. God, I've been running so long, and the storm has me turned all sorts of ways. I need to make sure I am running towards you, and I am following after you. Verse 2, and he said, I cried by reason of my affliction unto the Lord, and he heard me out of the belly of hell. Out of the belly of that well, he calls it hell. I cried, and you heard my voice. The well did not eat him. The well was not looking for a snack. The well is the first documented history in history of the first submarine ride. I believe when the well comes in, grabs Jonah and pulls him under the water. I believe the whale is just swimming around until Jonah prays. And when Jonah prays, that whale turns to Nineveh. And that whale starts swimming. And that whale starts swimming with great speed. And that submarine that everybody else thought had killed Jonah was now Jonah's transportation to go fulfill the word that was originally given. Can I tell you that what people think is going to kill you is actually the vehicle and the transportation that God is going to use to take you to what he called you to do and the original place he called you for? Pastor Becky, if you'll come. The boat that they were traveling in wasn't a very big boat. And the reason I know that is the Bible says they rowed against the wind. It's a rowboat. I did some studying. A rowboat at the top speed goes 8 miles an hour. But when you got to go a few hours, that's going to be dumbed down to about 3.5 miles an hour. But I looked at how fast a whale swims. A whale totally submerged can swim up to 34 miles per hour. I might be out of the will of God. Jonah, you might be out of the will of God. And you might have been rowing against what God is doing and not making much headway. But I'm here to declare to the church that once you say yes to Jesus, once you get your boat turned around, once you receive repentance, once you start walking like God wants you to walk, once you start being directed through a prayer life, once you start praising God in the middle of the belly, in the middle of hell, in the middle of well, what was sent to by the world standards destroy you and eat you up is going to be the quickest way for you to get back to the will of God. When you were fighting God, you were moving 5 miles an hour, but God will expedite your trip. Hey, Jonah, I called you to Nineveh. We're not going to waste time. We're not going to lose time. I've got you a boat called a whale that is going to take you the rest of the way. 7 times faster than that boat could have ever got you. Stand on your feet. Joel chapter 2. God will restore the years. If God restores the years, God restores the days. God restores the days, he restores the hours. I want to encourage you to talk to somebody today and tell you that you might be out of the will of God, you might have been running from him, but we serve a God of restoration. And I want to just declare that you haven't lost time because God's going to expedite your comeback. And what he called you to, he's still calling you to. What he's called you to preach, he's still calling you to preach. Verse 10 of chapter 2, and the Lord spake unto the fish. Man, this story is so awesome. Fish is just swimming around. God says, all right, go bite that man, swallow him whole. 3 days, he's just swimming around until Jonah prays. He shifts his direction, and that whale, 34 miles an hour, is right going right to Nineveh. I love what the Word of God says. This whale beached itself because the Bible says when God's Word spoke to the fish, he vomited Jonah on dry land, not in the surf, not in the shallow water. This big whale emerges, beaches itself, throws up Jonah. Remember, Nineveh is named after a goddess of fish. It really means the city of fish. So this wicked city of 120,000 people are worshiping a fish god. And here comes a fish. It vomits out a man of God who's been running from, that is now running to, for the revival. And when they see the fish, and they see the man, and Jonah starts preaching. Jonah says, you've got 40 days to turn it around. The Bible says at the end of chapter 3 that God changed what he wanted to do. And where he was going to offer judgment, he now offered grace. Because when Jonah preached, they said, man, we used to worship the fish god, but now this fish delivered us a man that is telling us about the one true living God. And 120,000 people gave their life to Jesus Christ. Not a day too late, because God restored the years. He started running from. God had him running to. And 100%, 120,000 is a lot of people, but the best number in that figure is 100% of the city turned to Jehovah God. Can I just declare what would happen in our country if 2 million San Antonians came to Jesus Christ all in the next 40 days? What would happen if your entire job force and workforce and everybody that used to cuss and everybody that used to slander and gossip, what if they all started serving God? What would happen if at your next family reunion, your auntie, your uncle, your cousin, your stepma, everybody was talking Jesus? Say, can it happen? Oh, it can. And I believe for a lot of us, it will. When we stop running from, we start running to Jesus. And we realize, God, I'm here for the revival. I'm going to speak, preach, and live this thing. And God, if it takes a whale, God, do whatever you have to do to get me in line to where I need to be. Amen? These altars are open. And I want to encourage somebody that's been running from. These last five messages we've seen.